So the verse is very large. They put only a fraction of it, so it will be, actually will not be possible to. But we just chant word for words and the translation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Those who, to, but, iha, in this life, yata, as much as, eva, certainly, amuna, by him, bihim sita, who were hurt, jantava, the living entities, paratra, in the next life, yama yatanam upagatam, being subjected to miserable conditions by Yamaraj, those living entities, eva, indeed, rudava, rudus, a kind of envious animal, bhutva, becoming, tata, that much, tam, him, eva, certainly, vihim santi, they hurt, tasmat, because of this, rauravam, raurava, iti, thus, ahu. Learned scholars say, Rudu, the animal known as Rudu, iti, thus, sarpat, than the snake, ati kruda, much more cruel and envious, satvasya, of the entity, apadesha, the name. Translation. In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he is taken to hell by Yamaraj, those living entities who were hurt by him appear as animals called Rudus, to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Raurava. Not generally seen in this world, the Rudu is more envious than a snake. Report. According to Sridhar Swami, the Rudu is also known as the Bharashringa. Atikrurasya Bharashringa kya sattvasya apadesha samgya. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this in his Sandarbha. Ruru Shabdasya Swayam Muninaiva Tikka Vidhanal Lokeshwa Prasidha Evayam Jantu Vishesha. Thus, although Rudus are not seen in this world, their existence is confirmed in the Shastras. Karotulambita Bujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalayataksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Bandi Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro. So in this chapter, the hellish planets, it is described different chastisements to different living entities according to their sinful activities. So in this particular verse, it is explained how people who likes to inflict pain and suffering to others, they receive a very severe reaction by some kind of animals called the Rudus. Although not seen in this world, their existence is confirmed in Shastra. Srila Prabhupada is quoting by Sridhar Swami and by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbha. So hell is a factual place, it's not an imagination. It is true. and those who act against the religious principles, they have to suffer in so many ways. Somebody may say, well, I don't believe in hell. You may believe or not believe. You will know it by yourself after death. That's a fact. So, once, some years ago, in a radio program, we were invited to speak with some religious leaders. There were some leaders from the Jew religion, Christian, different groups of Christian religion, Muslim religion, so many different. And we were talking about different aspects of religion and came this point about hell. So each group was giving his idea about what is hell. So some were saying, hell is a place where you go, you never come back. It's a great fire there burning like that, and burning everybody. Like once Prabhupada tell a story about some Christian minister, he went to preach in the mines in some place in Ireland, I think. And this minister, Christian, was telling those miners, oh, you must surrender to God, to Jesus Christ, otherwise you will go to hell. And they asked, what is hell? We don't know what you mean by hell. Oh, hell is a very dark place, and you will be burned by a great fire there. So they were not so surprised, because they were working in mines, and it's very dark there, and it's very hot, and they have to work with fire sometimes, so they were not impressed very much. So this Christian minister then start to figure out some idea of how to preach to them. And he told them, in hell, you will not get newspapers. Oh, that is very bad. Very, very bad. Because they are so attached to their prajalpa. So not to get that prajalpa in hell, that's very bad. Anyway, so these people were giving their ideas about hell. One Christian leader was saying, actually, we don't know if there is such thing as hell. We know in the Bible says something that about hell, but that this place exists or not, we are not sure of it. It's just something there, but we don't understand it actually. And they were talking like that. So we explained that actually we don't accept the idea that hell is eternally, that somebody goes to hell eternally to suffer there without any hope to get out of it, because that will make God mercy, without mercy. So God gives a chance to sinful people to suffer some time in hell to rectify their wrong mentality, and then they give them a chance again to rectify themselves. So they were saying, oh, you are talking about reincarnation. We don't accept reincarnation. See, what's difficult, why is difficulty in understanding this process of reincarnation? Even in this same lifetime, you are experiencing it. Your body is changing from boyhood to from childhood to boyhood to youth, then old age. So in the same lifetime, you are experiencing changes of body. Your body is changing completely. So what is surprising that after your death, you are going to get a new body? Besides that, they were discussing why we are suffering. Like this famous book, that why good people suffer, why bad things happen to good people. Well, they were saying, we don't understand the ways of God, why a small child, he died, you know, in an accident and is killed by a truck smashing him. We don't understand these things. What explanation do you have? So we're explaining the law of karma, how if you see a living entity, even a boy or a girl, whatever, you are seeing like an iceberg. You just see the top of it. When you see an iceberg floating on the sea, you don't see all of it, only the top part. But the bigger part even is underwater. So in the same way, We see a living entity, we see he's innocent, but we don't know what things he have done in previous life. You may see Hitler, you know, suffering as a child with so many diseases and crippled and blind and suffering severely, and you may say, oh, God is so bad with this person, the innocent child, what he have done wrong to suffer like this. But you don't know what things he have done in previous life. So without this factual knowledge about karma and reincarnation, is no way to explain the suffering of the living entities in this material world. And that is actually, it's not so surprising that apparently that bad things happen to good people, but why good things happen to bad people? That is more surprising here. That you may find sometimes somebody very, very bad, and suddenly he has so many money, riches, and you know, like that. So Prabhupada gave the example that it's like a cat playing with a mouse. When a cat catch a mouse and he's playing with it for some time and then leave it just to make him believe that he's safe, but actually he's not safe, he's just playing with it. At any moment he will catch him again and eat him up. In the same way, those materialistic people, they are getting some benefit of previous karma, they are enjoying some facilities, but because they are misusing those facilities, they have to suffer very severely next life. Like, you know the story, Prabhupada tells a story about a saintly person. He met different persons and he was giving different blessings. So he met a brahmachari. He gave a blessing. As soon as you die, it's better for you. That's my blessing. Because now you're brahmachari, doing severe austerities, it's painful, tapasya, voluntarily accepting mental and physical inconvenience. So when you give up your body, definitely you will go back home, back to Godhead. So the sooner you die, the better for you. So he gave that blessing. Then he met a prince. He told the prince, may you live a long life. Ah, oh, that's prince, a very good blessing I'm getting. Because after you're dead, you don't know where are you going. Because prince means is engaging in sense gratification, all kinds of sinful activities. So he has to suffer next life for all this. So better you live a long life, enjoying, then you don't know what is expecting you. And he met a butcher. And he told him, best thing for you, don't live, don't die. Because while living, you're committing so much abominable activities. Butchering animals, you know, killing them and cutting them to pieces. It's such a hellish life, horrible life. And don't die, because after you're dead, you don't know how much suffering is awaiting you. So like that. And then he met the sadhu, devotee of the Lord, and he gave him a blessing. To live or to die, same thing for you, no difference. Because while living, you are with Krishna, serving him, and after death you will continue doing the same thing. So for you, to live or to die is the same, no difference. So like that, we should know that these descriptions in Shastras about the hellish planets is just to discourage people from committing sinful activities. One of these people in the meeting was a Jew leader. He said, I don't accept this idea you have about karma. Because if you say that somebody does something good, he is rewarded. And if he does something wrong, he's chastised. That's checking their free will. So I don't accept the idea.
So
what is surprising about this idea? If you go on walking on the street, you may say, I don't care about the, how's that, the cross light? Red light. I don't care about this red light put by the government. I will cross anyway because this is against my free will. You know why I have to stop? Then, if you cross the street in a red light, then you will be killed by a car. So you may say, I don't believe in this. Who cares if you believe or don't believe? The laws of government are there. If you don't follow them, you will suffer. So what to speak of the laws given by God? If you break those laws, definitely you have to suffer. And you may say that this is against the free will of the living entity. It's not true. Because we see the government chastising so many criminals. If somebody is a thief, he's put in jail. But still, people go on stealing and killing and doing so, and they know. If they are caught, they will be put in jail and they will suffer so much. So still they are doing. So how can you say this is checking their free will, that they know if they do something wrong, they are going to be chastised? So he has no argument for this. Anyway, the whole idea is that for devotees, actually we know the saying goes that hell with Krishna is heaven and heaven without Krishna is hell. So devotee may be in any condition. Devotees sometimes they have to go to preach in the West, and many times it's a hellish situation. But because they keep Krishna in their mind, they become Krishna conscious, so for them is heaven. And somebody may be in a very nice, beautiful place, but if it's not Krishna conscious, then this is worse than hell. Like Prabhupada Saraswati, he is praying, he's saying, my dear Lord, I don't desire to merge in your existence. For me, this is worse than hell. Because for a devotee, to lose his individuality and to merge in the Brahma Jyoti is worse than hell. Why is that? You may say, well, it's Brahmananda, is blissful. No more repeated birth and death. Just existing eternally there. Why is worse than hell? Because there you are not Krishna conscious. And you may be in hell, but still you may remember Krishna. Like in the Nectar of Devotion, there is a prayer by one devotee saying, my dear Lord, now I am in hell, I am suffering because of my sinful activities. Let me suffer because I deserve all suffering I am getting in this condition. But please, the only thing I beg from you is not to allow me not to forget at any moment your lotus feet. So this is devotee. You may be surprised how is a devotee is in hell. So we should be careful. Doesn't mean that just automatically because somebody becomes a devotee, he is saved from hell. If he again commits sinful activities and don't rectify this, and he goes on and on like that, so he may lose that opportunity of human life, and he may go to suffer to hell. But still, because devotee, he may remember the Lord. As sometimes living entities, fortunate enough, in the womb of their mother, they may remember the Lord and pray for his service. That is possible. So when Lord Yamaraj, he calls somebody, he can't say no. He has to go. Maybe in a very comfortable situation, very happy condition, but as soon as his time to go comes, there's no way to check it. There is a nice story in relation to that. the Puranas. Once a servant went to the marketplace to buy some vegetables for his master. So while doing some shopping there, he saw Yamaraj, and Yamaraj stared at him with very open eyes. He became very frightened, and he ran to his master and told his master, "I just saw Yamaraj, and he looked at me in a very strange way. Please give me a horse. I will go right now to Calcutta immediately." "Calm down, don't worry." No, please give me right now a horse. I want to go right now. I'm very afraid of Yamaraj." "All right," said master, took a horse and he ran away to Calcutta. So the master went to the market and he saw Yamaraj, and he approached him and asked him, why you frightened my servant by staring at him in that way?" Yamaraj say, that wasn't my intention to frighten him. I was just surprised to see him here, because tonight we have a meeting in Calcutta, and I was surprised to see him still here, because in very few hours I have a meeting with him." So he was running to his destination. He could not run in another direction, but in that direction. There is a similar also story like that. Once there were meeting of all demigods, and Garuda came also, was there, Lord Vishnu. So was a small bird, we see many birds around here. A small bird was there, and Yamaraj stared at him. And the bird became very frightened and took shelter of Garuda. He said, "Please, my dear elder brother Garuda, I am your younger brother. Please, you protect me. This Yamaraj just stared at me in a very strange way. So please take me to the Sumeru, the top of the Sumeru mountain, so I will be saved there." "All right." Because a small bird can't fly to the top of Sumeru mountain, Garuda put him on his back and took him to the top. So he was feeling, "Oh, now I'm safe." So Garuda approached Yamaraj and asked him the same question. "Why you was frightening my younger brother, this bird?" "Oh, I was just surprised to see him here, because in very few moments I have a meeting with him at the top of the Sumeru mountain." So just see, so many situations like that. Like there is a Bengali proverb, "Mare Krishna rake ke, rake Krishna mare ke." If Krishna wants to protect somebody, who can kill him? And if Krishna wants to kill somebody, who can protect him? So that's the actual truth. Once a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "What will you do if you see a bomb coming on you?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, this is Krishna coming to take me with him." So the teaching from this is that the more problems there are in the material world, the more reason we have to take shelter of Krishna. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta say, don't lose your time trying to rectify the miserable condition of this material world. It will not work. Because for millions and millions of years, this will go on, and will go on like this. Nobody can check it. Jamma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So those miseries nobody can check. But materialistic people, they try to check in so many ways. By their materialistic advancement of science, and by so many ways, they try to check this thing, but it is not possible. They are just losing their time. So instead of losing time trying to rectify the miserable condition of this material world, because one of the anarthas is the desire to live happily in the material world, is considered an anartha. It's an impediment in the heart. We should not aspire like that. We should aspire for Krishna's shelter all the time. Whatever condition it may happen, it may come to us. We should always understand that, like Lord Krishna confirms that this material world is dukkalaya mashashwatam. It's a miserable place and temporary. So why we should make plans to live happily in this material world? That is not possible. That is due to illusion only. We should make plans to get out of this miserable condition and go back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada said that this human form of life is a great adventure, because we've been conditioned in so many millions of species of life, changing one body after another. And in this human form of life, we have this greatest opportunity to go back home, back to God. So we should take this chance for good and make our life successful. Otherwise, just trying to chew the chewed once and again is not going to benefit us at all. So that's why great saintly persons like Srila Prabhupada, they are giving these teachings to the whole world just to save people from their miserable condition. Because they feel sympathy to the living entities. We should not hurt any living entity. This is the Vedas saying, Mahimsa yat sarva bhutani. Don't commit violence against any living entity. And there are many stories in relation to that. Jalabharat, great saint, he was forced to carry Maharaj Rahugana palanquin on his shoulder, and he was moving to and fro, and the king became very disturbed and just started to chastise him. But the reason he was moving in that zigzag way was because he didn't want to trample on the ants. He didn't want to inflict any suffering to any living entity. That's the kindness of, that means a Vaishnava devotee, he doesn't want to make suffer any living entity. Jai Shishi Gornita, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shama Sundara Lita Vishaka Kija. So, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said, in the higher sense, violence means not to preach Krishna consciousness. That's the highest violence. Because if you see somebody who is going to jump from the bridge and commit suicide, you will try to check that person. You will try to convince and stop that person from doing that. Actually, one devotee told me a true story that happened to somebody. One person was ready to jump from the bridge in San Francisco, you know. This usual, many people, they do that. So this person was ready to jump to kill himself. He was so frustrated, you know, from material life. And suddenly the breeze came and one magazine stuck to his body. And you may try to guess which magazine was that. Back to Godhead. So he took that magazine and read it, and he desisted from committing suicide. Instead, he went to the temple and became devotee. So just see, like that. These things are, many things like that happen actually. This movement is saving so many people all around the world. So Srila Prabhupada once was preaching here in India to some minister in the government. And this minister invited Prabhupada to his home and gave Prabhupada some gifts and prasad like that. And he gave him a murti of Krishna and gave it to one small girl called Saraswati. She was the daughter of one devotee, Shyam Sundar. So the girl was playing with this murti of Krishna, and she was distracted. She put that murti on the table and she was playing around. So Prabhupada was preaching to this minister about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, how they were feeling a great separation from Krishna. They were always crying, "Oh Krishna, when will we see you?" He Radhe Brajadevi Kehel Chalalite Hinanda Shuno Kuta. They were crying always. Where is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj? Where is Lalita? Where is Radharani? Where are the gopis? Are there in the Govardhan Hill or in the groves of Vrindavan or at the Yamuna? They were searching all the time. The reason that they were sleeping under a different tree every night was not just because to practice vairagya or detachment. That was not the real reason, because they were already detached. The reason was they were taking darshan of each and every tree in Brajabhumi, because those trees were not ordinary trees, but they were kalpa vrikshas. So they're getting blessings from all those trees. Mm-hmm. So as Srila Prabhupada was preaching to this minister about the high quality of love of Godhead of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and suddenly Prabhupada took the murti, Krishna murti, and hid it behind his shoulders, behind his back. So this little girl, Saraswati, came, and she didn't saw that murti of Krishna. So she was asking everyone, "Oh, where is Krishna? Oh, where is my Krishna?" And everybody was looking at each other's face, knowing that Prabhupada was hiding the murti on his back. So they were not saying anything. But this girl became very anxious and was searching for Krishna in every room and asking everybody, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Very anxiously. So finally one devotee took, have some mercy on her, and he told her, he asked her the question, who of us have Krishna? And she looked at all of them, and she looked at Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And then Prabhupada, smiling, gave her the murti of Krishna. So this minister was very surprised to see how a small girl, 3 years old, can feel so anxious about Krishna. That was a practical way that Prabhupada was preaching to him, how even a small child can feel separation from Krishna, can feel anxious about Krishna. Mm-hmm. So we can understand that this is actually the goal of life, to develop this anxiety, this desire, this eagerness to have Krishna. Mm-hmm. Unless we get this, we shall feel that our life is useless. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a gradual process of purification, spiritual advancement to come to that level. Is not something artificially to be imitated, like the Sahajyas. Mm-hmm. But it is something that is very much desirable to have. Prema Pumarto Mahan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached that the highest goal of human life is to achieve prema, pure love of God. And he was preaching to all the people like that. It's a very nice song in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which say, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadhan, Charane Doriya Boli Krishna Deho Man. He say, Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father. Krishna is the treasure of your life breath. I'm holding your feet and imploring you, please give your mind totally to Krishna. He was preaching like that. And he was telling Nityananda and Haridas, Shuno shuno Nitya Ananda, Shuno Haridas, Sarvatra Amara Agya Koroho Prakash. Please give my instruction to everyone. Listen, listen Nityananda, listen Haridas, make known my desire, my instruction to everyone. Pratigare gaya giya koro e biksha, bolo Krishna, baja Krishna, koro Krishna shiksha. And what instruction is? Ask this biksha, this alms from everyone. Chant Krishna's name, Bolo Krishna, Baja Krishna, worship Krishna. And Koro Krishna Shiksha, follow Krishna's instructions as they are in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, they were going from door to door according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, and they will knock on the doors and the people will come out and they will pay full dandava to that person, and then with folded hands they will pray to the person, "You are such a great personality, you are knower of all shastras, you are so..." Like that, they were praising that person. So the person became embarrassed a little bit. "Oh, these people are praising, these sows are praising me. They are discovering my good qualities." So they became very open-minded and say, "Please ask for me whatever you want." So they will ask him, "Please give up your sinful activities and chant the names of the Lord. You promise us right now that you will chant certain amounts of names of Krishna. How many names can you chant every day?" So like that, they were getting from everybody to chant certain amounts of names daily. That was their way of preaching. Of course, sometimes Haridas Thakur will get in trouble because Nityananda Prabhu will show his avadutas qualities. Sometimes Lord Nityananda will go to the house of some farmer and will milk the cow. He will milk the cow, drink the milk, and run away. So the farmer will come with a stick and he will catch Haridas Thakur because his older can't run so fast. So, and ask him to pay for the milk that Nityananda Prabhu drank. So he says, "I have no money, I'm a poor man." So he will catch him and like that. So he will get in many trouble, Haridas Thakur. Or sometimes Nityananda Prabhu will swim across the Ganges and will play with the crocodiles, slapping them on their faces, like that. So Haridas Thakur will get much anxiety by seeing that, you know. So he will complain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometime, "Please tell your Nityananda not to be so avaduta and get so much trouble because of this." He sometimes approach a village girl and holding her hand will say to her, "Will you marry me?" And the girl become very ashamed like that. So that was his, is a funny mood, transcendentally speaking. We can't imitate those activities, of course. We should know that we are not Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Lord himself. So he can do whatever he likes. Once a devotee approached Lord Chaitanya and was a little doubtful why Nityananda Prabhu was sometimes doing this kind of things. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to him and told him, "Even if you see Lord Nityananda coming out of a bar where they serve wine, you should know that this is still worshipable. He is still saintly. If he goes there, he has some purpose to do. He doesn't go there just to drink wine or do some nonsense thing. If he goes there, is to preach to those fallen souls," like that. And he told him, "You should know that Nityananda Prabhu is my second body. Whatever he does actually is my doing, but I'm doing through him." Like that. So I met a devotee recently here. I haven't seen him for many years. He told me he joined the movement here in this Vrindavan temple. And the thing that make him decide to join the movement was because he heard about these hellish planets and he became very frightened. Because he told me, "I've done so many sinful activities, and when I heard all the chastisement awaiting you, I say, no, I don't want to go through all this suffering. Better I become devotee. So like that. So sometimes to hear about this hellish planet is good for us, to remind us that we should not do any nonsense things. Like one Sankaran devotee, I think was Pragosh, he told me true story happened to him in one airport. He approached one old man and was distributing the Bhagavatam, the third canto. And in that third canto was a picture, you know, an old man lying on his bed and all his relatives, you know, around him, and the Yamadutas behind, invisible to others' eyes, were trying to take him. You know. So when this old man saw that picture, he became very frightened. He said to the devotee, almost crying, "Recently I had a heart attack, and I saw those same guys you have here in this picture." And I became very frightened. So please explain me who they are and why they came to catch me. So the devotee preached to him. And the man, he bought the book. Not only that, he went to the temple and became a devotee. He joined the movement. And after a few months, he left up his body. But of course, we know that by Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he was not going to hell after that, because he took the holy name, he took shelter in his Prabhupada movement, but he was saved. So just see this movement saving so many people around the world, every day, every second, every moment. And all this is the doing of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Yeah. All right, so if you have any comments or questions, please, you may ask. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.